Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
First things first, I'ma say all the words inside my head. I'm fired up and tired of the way that things have been. Taking my soak into the masses, writing my poems for the few that look at me, took me, shook me, feeling me, singing from heartache, from the pain, taking my message from the veins, speaking my lesson from the brain, seeing the beauty through the.
All right, let's get after it. Welcome, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott joining you. Wednesday edition of Oilers Now, brought to you by our title sponsor, Digitex. Imagine Dragons. Imagine that. Tell me why, Brendan Escott.
Frontman Dan Reynolds, lead guitarist too, if I'm not mistaken. Born this day in 1987. One of the newer but still rock and roll bands.
All right. You said Reynolds. No relation to Todd Reynolds, who Brendan, as you know, is the agent of Zach Hyman. And word, I believe it was Pierre LeBrun from TSN as well as The Athletic, saying that all signs pointing to Zach Hyman testing the market and upcoming free agency. Hope you're having a wonderful Wednesday. We have a busy show coming up for you today. As always, brought to you by Digitex. Hugh Porter and the staff at Digitex. Buy or lease your next office network printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store. Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office IT and supplies. Of course, yesterday, we had Ken Holland and Duncan Keith on Oilers Now. We're going to get to a couple of the clips from yesterday's show in our Oilers Now audio vault, which is brought to you daily by Direct Workwear, supporting local and Canadian manufacturers in Edmonton and online at directworkwear.com. 1235, the number one pick in the 1983 NHL entry draft, would later become the head of Octagon's player agency. Before moving on to be the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, the man who drafted Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman, now with the NHL Network, Brian Lawton. He's fast become a very popular guest on this show. From the cult of hockey, a lot of people see him as a shining beacon of certainly the far left movement in the province of Alberta. No, I'm joking. David Staples from the Cult of Hockey today at 105. Undoubtedly, we're going to have an animated discussion on perceptive value. And at 135, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling, John Shannon. Here's how you get a hold of us. You can text us at any time on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors at 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, or you can visit ashleyfinefloors.com for more information. And the phone number to the show is 780-496-0063. That's the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. The province is back up and at 'em. The River Cree fully back up in Adam. Patio remains open daily, all ages, 11 a.m. until 11 p.m. You can watch the game on the biggest screen in the city while enjoying daily drink specials as well as an upscale menu. The River Cree Resort Casino, they got a tally up going now. They got Tap 25. It's rocking at the River Cree. Excitement. Bet on it. Okay, where do we go? There was a minor trade. I don't know if we're... Is this the top story? I don't know. For Legacy Heating and Cooling, get your AC today. No payments, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. The Edmonton Oilers helping out the Carolina Hurricanes. Of course, Don Waddell at one time worked for Ken Holland when Waddell was with the Detroit Red Wings organization. So he is in Carolina, the de facto general manager, though ownership has a large say in what happens with that hockey club currently. The Carolina Hurricanes need a little bit of coverage in goal, so they acquired former fifth-round draft choice of the Edmonton Oilers, Dylan Wells, for future considerations. I wonder what the future considerations would be. They do have a defenseman, a right shot, that's perfectly situated to be a third-pairing guy. Yanni Hockenpah. I'd have some time for him. Don't know. He's going to be going to free agency here, so we'll wait and see on that front. But a guy that's would be in the accepted role. Which will bring us to the Oilers Now Audio Vault for Direct Workwear, supporting local and Canadian manufacturers in Edmonton and online at directworkwear.com. Here's where we're going to go right here, right now. We'll get to Ken Holland on Duncan Keith. We'll hear from Duncan Keith, and then we're going to spiral into Adam Larson. But we will start with Ken Holland's comments on what he hopes Duncan Keith can bring to the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, I'd like to think that he can be a second-pair defenseman. You know, he played 23 and a half minutes in Chicago last year. I think if we cut his minutes back to 2021, he plays in the second pair. You know, Darnell Nurse is going to do, you know, take the heavy lifting in terms of the hard matchups. But certainly Duncan's still going to play in important situations for us. So I think on the ice, I'm expecting him to be a second-pair defenseman, play 20, 21, 19 to 21 minutes. You know, some nights can he play a little bit more? I think so. He's done that in even as recently as last year. And I think that he's going to provide some veteran leadership. And I'd like to think that you know, I'm going to drive to Kelowna tonight and have dinner with Duncan and get to spend a couple of hours with him. He's in Penticton. We're going to meet halfway. So, you know, I just want to get to know him. I was with him on Canada's World Junior Olympic team in Vancouver and Sochi in 10 and 14. I've obviously watched him from a close seat being in Detroit. He was in Chicago and played in the playoff series in 2013. So he's got tremendous leadership. He was a great skater in his day. He's 37, 38, but, you know, if the skills diminished a little bit, absolutely. But in his prime, he was one of the top four, five, six best defensemen in the game. So if the skills have diminished, he still has the ability to be a good second pair defense and play in important situations. And again, off the ice, provide us with leadership and that veteran role model mentoring that everybody needs.
All right, so that was Ken Holland, Oilers GM, yesterday, and Duncan Keith joining us here on Oilers Now. We'll get to Ken's comments on Adam Larson in a couple minutes. Duncan Keith did the show. I actually got three or four texts. You never know. Brendan, all I can tell you is those podcasts that you do, that you put up for the show, and we have, you know, pretty competitive numbers with those podcasts, like north of usually around 250,000 individual downloads a month. So you're doing a great job with that, because I don't know how to do any of that technology. But I got some feedback from some guys in other markets last night that work in the league. It was pretty interesting on Duncan Keith's comments. Duncan Keith had this to say on the fact that there's something for him to prove starting a training camp.
I think so. I think in this league, it's such a good league. You have to prove yourself year after year. And when we're out on the ice there, the competitive nature takes over. It's no matter what. Nobody's looking. You're not skating around with the number of games you've played or the number of years you've played in the league. It's just the body out there. And, it's competition. And I think no matter what, that competitive nature is still in me, and I still like to play at the highest level I can play at, and so I'm going to bring that to the team for sure.
Yeah, there was a humility in his voice when we had him on the show yesterday, and I asked him whether or not he's got enough juice left to contribute in whatever role the Oilers need him in.
I mean, I'm sure the coaching staff and everything, you know, everybody's going to have, obviously, the roster kind of set with the way they want it. But ultimately, it just kind of comes down to the games and how you play, and that'll dictate the ice time. And whatever role I'm put in to start, I'm going to do my best to play my best and help my teammates and help the team win.
There you go. The newest member of the Edmonton Oilers, Duncan Keith. And again, you're all entitled to your opinion. That's fine. And lots of you have them. And generally speaking, if you're polite, Nobody has an issue if you disagree. If you're rude, that's a little bit disappointing. Sometimes things happen and you go, that's interesting. I had a situation like this during the course of the 05-06 season. At that time, we didn't have text messaging. We had email, and I was on a show called Total Sports. And I started to get an email about once a week. And it was one of those weird emails that, you know, was like some Yahoo account or something, saying that Chris Pronger would ultimately desire a move out of Edmonton. And I was completely dismissive because the Oilers had just signed Chris Pronger to a five-year extension after acquiring his rights in July of 2005. And the Oilers had gone to the... Well, at the time I first started getting the emails, Edmonton was closing in on a playoff spot during the 05-06 season. So you never know in terms of what gets sent your way. And I bring that up because when the Oilers got knocked out in triple overtime by the Winnipeg Jets on May the 25th, Reed Wilkins got a call on overtime open line at about 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was a little odd, to say the least. Here it is.
What if Duncan Keith wants to move back home, kind of like the guy from Calgary did, and wants to come to the Oilers? What kind of cap space do we have to do, and how beneficial would it be for the right-handed young D-man to play with a good left-handed D-man like Duncan Keith? Yeah, like, just what if I say to you guys that he's maybe willing to move?
That is, Brendan, I don't know about you, man. Again, that call took place May the 25th after the Oilers were eliminated from the playoffs. So remember, that game went into triple overtime. You got to admit, that's a little bit strange, don't you think? Adam from Red Deer.
Yeah, that's some Marty McFly stuff right there,
you
as
think
far
so?
As I'm concerned. Yeah.
Yeah. And I always, you know, it's funny because sometimes you get guys that text stuff and, oh, I'm in the know, and Stauffer, you don't know anything. And I'm like, okay. You know, and you think you know, but you don't know. And this is, and I've learned that sometimes people do know. Adam from Red Deer obviously had a little bit of a clue. That was a pretty interesting call. So never say never, I guess, on anything, and we'll see how it all ends up translating. So Duncan Keith is done. He is an Edmonton Oiler. We know that. The trade again. Caleb Jones, along with a conditional third-round pick that becomes a second if the Edmonton Oilers end up in the Stanley Cup final next season, and Duncan Keith ends up playing top 4 minutes. So there you go. Adam Larson, interesting situation. 5 weeks ago, I would have told you, you know, the Oilers got eliminated end of May. Let's say we get into first week of June. I would have thought for sure Adam Larson would be signed to a four-year extension before Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. And right now, we're sort of in a nebulous area. The Oilers have to have their expansion list in on the 17th, and then the draft takes place on the 21st for the Seattle Kraken. Ken Holland, again, as we go back in the Oilers Now audio vault for Direct Workwear, had these comments on Larson and the expansion draft list.
I talked to Ron Francis this morning, and you know, he was just checking in on, after we did the deal yesterday, how it might impact us. You know, right now, not much is going on with Adam Larson. I think he's, you know, he's taken all the time to really decide, you know, what he wants to do with his career. I'm told by his agent, J.P. Barry, and I know that Adam spent some time with Leon Draisaitl in Spain after the season, that, you know, he likes Edmonton, he likes his role, he likes his coaching staff, he likes being a leader. I think he wants to be sure that whatever decision he makes is the right decision. So for right now, not much is going on the Adam Larson front. I talk to his agent almost every day now here over the last, or every second day over the last couple of weeks. And I just see us submitting a list of 7-3-1 on Saturday, and then Seattle can pick a player.
So my interpretation of this is right now we're not sure where we're at with Adam Larson. Some people, I know Mark Spector was on yesterday's show, and he said, well, you know what I think's going on here is that the Oilers have a deal, and boom, away we go. But the deal doesn't get announced until after Seattle does their expansion list. And I guess that is certainly a feasible perspective to have. I'm not sold necessarily that that's the case. I still think that until the guy signs on the dotted line, he hasn't signed on the dotted line. That's the school that I come from, even though I will say if you make a verbal agreement, generally speaking, a verbal agreement's a verbal agreement, but we've had situations in the past at Edmonton involving Mike Gillis representing Nylander, the father, was that Michael Nylander, back in the day, saying that he was coming to Edmonton and then changing the mind the next day. And the Oilers actually brought it forward to the league because the agency had confirmed that he was coming and he ultimately did not come. And as it turned out, he ended up getting bought out on his contract. So we'll see, right? Like, I think we'll see what happens here. I don't know, to be honest with you. There's an outside chance. Like, I think maybe we're down at 80-20. Instead of, I thought this was like 95% sure that Larson was going to sign. It's interesting, right? Because we had a lot of people out there that are like, well, now they have to do a deal where there's an arrangement in place because they're going to go 7-3-1, and the three defensemen that they're going to protect are going to be Darnell Nurse, Duncan Keith, and Ethan Bear. So there's no way they're going to officially sign Fake Manny Adam Larson, because then it's going to have to, you know, then they're going to have to expose one of the forwards. I wouldn't necessarily be so sure that they would be exposing one of the forwards if they did indeed have Larson signed. They could do that because, I mean, they could go four defense and four forwards, or they still might stay at 7-3-1 and maybe move an asset for a centerman as an example. Time will tell. We'll have to wait and see. Interesting times, to say the least. But as of this stage, nothing signed regarding Adam Larson. Time will tell. It is 12:23 in Edmonton. Mossy says on the Ashley Fine Flores text line, Bob, any word about Tyson Barrie at this stage? No. That's the other thing that needs to be factored in here. Tyson Barrie and Adam Larson are both represented by CAA. I think it was Kurt Levin's Cult of Hockey mentioned a couple weeks ago he'd heard that maybe 3 weeks ago that Barrie enjoyed his time here through Denver sources. That was interesting to me. I would have time for Tyson Barrie, but not on a 5 or 6 year deal, maybe on a shorter term deal. Maybe it's a byproduct that we're going to need to see how free agency goes. I think the Oilers' primary focus is getting Larson done and then getting an upgrade on left wing. See what ends up transpiring. When we come back in Oilers Now, we'll get to NHL Today. And time permitting, we're going to hear a comment from Troy Murray on Duncan Keith's analytics as well. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Hi, this is Zach Cassian from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
Here we go. It is 12:26 in Edmonton, and I'm going to go back into the audio vault. Troy Murray was on Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins a couple days ago, and he said that Duncan Keith's analytics don't tell the whole story in Chicago.
If you look at Duncan Keith's analytic numbers, he has been seated in the wrong spot the last couple of seasons, and I honestly believe that. He is not a number one guy that he was years and years and years for the Chicago Blackhawks. He was the go-to guy. Whenever you look down the bench, you wanted to put somebody on the ice, it was Seabrook and Keith. It was Jalmerson and Keith. You know, he was the go-to guy. When you have Darnell Nurse, he is your go-to guy. There's no question about that. Dunk's going to completely understand that. But when you look at some of the numbers, and I'll be just, you know, I'll be blatantly honest. I mean, this Blackhawk team, if you look at their analytic numbers the last couple of seasons, two, three seasons, have been abysmal, have been terrible. And that goes from Patrick Kane, other than there's points numbers, some of his numbers. The goaltending this year was great, or the numbers probably would have been worse this year for the Blackhawks. But again, slotted in the wrong spot. Playing maybe some of the matchups that you're not going to see when he's playing behind Darnell Nurse. Now, if Darnell Nurse is not on the ice, Duncan Keith is going to be there, and he is going to do a great job. So take the analytics for what they are. Sometimes they help with the eye test. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they reveal some things that are a little bit disturbing. You know, getting the puck out. And you mentioned a couple of them as well, puck possession and you know, off the rush, defending off the rush, whatever it is. His numbers are going to be completely different. And I really believe that for Duncan Keith, and I know how he's wired, and you're going to get a good taste of what Duncan Keith is all about next year, even when he shows up in training camp. Your rookies, your younger players, your Connor McDavid and Draisaitl, they're going to look at Duncan Keith and they're going, wow, I've never seen anything like this. That's how driven this guy is. He's a great team guy, and he understands his role, and he's not going to overstep that role. He's going to fit in nicely.
All right. There you go. That is Troy Murray. And you know what? We still have people. It's funny how vociferous some individuals want to be on the text message in line. 780-496-0063. Ashley Fine Flores text messages in their vehement, utter disdain for this trade. And you're entitled. I would prefer if you were polite about it. For the guys that are really rude, I wonder if you've got some other challenges in your life right now that you're not very happy with, that you feel that you need to correspond in the manner than you do. Frankly, it's more of a reflection. You know, you can just say, Bob, I disagree with the trade, don't like the trade, disagree with your take, I don't think he's going to be an effective player for the Edmonton Oilers. I'm here to tell you, I think he's going to be a good second pairing defenseman. Let's go to NHL today for Elite Promotional Marketing Company, branded apparel, products, and awards, all created in-house. Shop local at elitepromomarketing.com.
Luke Richardson signing a 3-year contract with Montreal, remaining an assistant on Dominique Ducharme's staff. Brandon Carlo staying in Boston for another 6 years. The 24-year-old defenseman signing a contract extension worth just over $26 million. So that's an AAV of 4.1 for the 32nd pick from 2015. Also, Bruins defenseman Kevin Miller announcing his retirement at 33 years old, just 28 games last season for him. Jeff Skinner will waive his no-movement clause for the expansion draft. That's a week from tonight, by the way. And Jeremy Mallory, he's a young, impressive man that is the new video coach and hockey operations coordinator for the Edmonton Oil Kings. He replaces Brian Cheeseman, coming over from Brock University, where he is working on a master's in sports management.
Let's go to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. When we come back, Brian Lawton.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.